as our conscience, a basic morality, a basic understanding of right and wrong that God has implanted in us, along with a basic knowledge that there is a creator. And now Paul finishes this thought about our conscience by explaining that everyone is a breaker of God's law. So that's here in Romans 2, starting in verse 17, where we finished last week. It says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast in the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So our title is A Breaker of the Law. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word again, and pray you'll now teach us through it and guide us in your truth. We're thankful, Lord, that we can meet here and assemble in your name and praise you in song and spend time praying one for another. We praise you for your word. And Lord, we ask now that you would guide us as we walk through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see that Paul is focusing on the Jewish people. Even though he's writing to the church at Rome, a lot of the book of Romans is targeted toward the Jews. And this is one of those examples. All of chapter 9, all of chapter 10, all of chapter 11 is focused on the Jews. And as you can see, a big portion of this chapter as well. And he's talking here about verse 17, those who rest, who are resting in the law, those who are saying, "I'm safe. Because I'm keeping the law," they're resting in the law, thinking that that's going to get them to heaven. Which is what Jesus faced, isn't it? Was the scribes and the Pharisees teaching the people and believing that they could rest in the law and that the law would get them to heaven. And of course, as we know and saw last week, that is not possible. Unless, of course, you're sinless, which is no one except Christ. So he's talking about the Jews, how they're resting in the law, and he walks through it there and talks about how they're instructing one thing and doing it themselves. Thou shalt not steal. Are you stealing? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Are you committing adultery? And so forth. And then he finishes there in verse 23 by saying, "Thou that makest thy boast of the law." So he's saying that the Jews are not only resting in the law, but they're actually making their boast in the law, saying, "Look at me. I'm a Jew. I have the law. And I keep the law." The problem is that those who are resting in the law and those who are boasting in the law will one day be judged by the law. As we saw last week. Look at it. Chapter 2, verse 12. From last week, he says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." So you can say you're resting in the law. You can say that you're boasting in the law. God says, fine, you'll be judged by the law and found wanting. And you'll find, as it says in verse 23 there, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Ultimately, every time we break God's law, we are dishonoring Him. That's why he says in chapter 3, 23, most of you know this verse, look at it. We usually use it when we're presenting the gospel. For all have sinned, it says, and come short of the glory of God. So the all have sinned part is what we use when we're talking about the gospel and the sinfulness of man. But he says, we all fall short of God's glory. And God is explaining to us that actually, if we're a breaker of the law, we are dishonoring God. Because He's the one that gave us the law. He wrote the law to show us our sinfulness. And He's saying to the Jews primarily, you're actually dishonoring God by not only trying to get to heaven through the law, but by teaching others the same, who are all breaking the law. You are dishonoring God. How sad that the very people who claim to be following God are dishonoring God. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. So again, he reminds us that if we are perfect and sinless, yes, we can get ourselves to heaven. Too late. We've already sinned by the time we're what? 4 months old? 5 months old? 2 months old? Start lying. And it doesn't stop there, does it? It just keeps going. It gets worse and worse. Then we become adults and sin all the time. He says, fine, if you are circumcised, in other words, you're a Jew, and you can keep the law perfectly, you're fine. But he says, but, verse 25, if thou be a breaker of the law, which is our title tonight, if you've broken the law even once, you're a breaker of the law, he's saying, doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. You're still a breaker of the law. And you have no hope outside of salvation. Go to James 2:10. We'll see. I think we looked at this last week as well. But God tells us how many times we have to sin to be a breaker of the law. Whosoever shall keep the whole law. In other words, you never miss it once, James 2:10, and yet offend him one point, he's guilty of all. What a powerful truth. It only takes one sin to make us a sinner. And of course, we've all sinned thousands of times. But Paul's trying to get his point across, primarily to the Jews, that we are all breakers of the law. Galatians 5, quickly if you would, verse 3. Galatians is written primarily to counteract the Judaizers who were coming into these Gentile churches and saying, it's great that you're saved. Now you need to get circumcised and keep the law. And the Galatians were like, okay, are we supposed to do this or not? And Paul had to write them a letter to correct this wrong teaching. And he says here in Galatians 5, notice down in verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised. So again, he's talking to the Jews, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to claim that your circumcision helps you in some way, then that means you have to keep the whole law and never break it once. Next verse, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Wow, that's a powerful statement. In other words, Jesus died on the cross. Why? If you believe your circumcision and your keeping of the law can get you to heaven, then why did Jesus die on the cross? What was the point? If you can get yourself to heaven by doing good works or by keeping God's law, which, let's face it, most people believe they're going to get themselves to heaven by being good people, don't they? It says, if you can do that, why did Christ die? You've just made all his suffering and his death and his resurrection null and void by believing that you can get to heaven some other way. That's what he says. He's become of no effect who are justified by the law. He says, you're fallen from grace. Wow. Because as we know, for by grace are you saved. Amen. We're not saved by the law, we're saved by grace. Not of works. While we're in Galatians, go over to chapter 6, look at verse 13. He says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Again, he says the Jews don't keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. So they won't keep the law, but they want you, talking to the Galatians, to get circumcised, so that they feel validated. That's what it's all about. Verse 14, God forbid that I should glory. Paul's saying, I'm a Jew. I was a faithful Jew. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Saying it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. What matters is, are you a new creature? And that can only happen if you're born again. Amen? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So he says, if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision means nothing. That you are, in effect, not even a Jew, he says. Your circumcision is made uncircumcision. So back to our passage here in Romans 2, in verse 26, it says, therefore, if the uncircumcision, talking about the Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? He's saying, what matters is obedience versus disobedience. What matters is keeping the law versus breaking the law, not external stuff. He's saying the external doesn't mean a thing. Now, did you notice in verse 25 he used the word keep? In verse 26 he uses the word keep. If thou keep the law, in other words, if you're perfect, fine. However, if you're a breaker of the law, he's saying it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, you're a breaker of the law. And he reminds us over in chapter 3, turn there, verse 20. I think we looked at this last week, but a very powerful truth. Therefore, this kind of sums it up. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, it can't happen. You cannot be justified through the deeds of the law. He says there, and we'll look more at it when we get to it. He says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law wasn't given to get us to heaven. The law was given to show we're going to hell. The law was given to give us the knowledge of our sinfulness, to show us that we are dishonoring God, to show us that we are breaking his commandments, so that we would realize our need for help, for salvation. So the law wasn't given to get man to heaven. The law was given to show man he's going to hell. Big difference, huh? So we're not justified by the deeds of the law, as he says here. And then he says in verse 27 of Romans 2, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? So he's saying, he said it to the Galatians as well. He's saying, you Jews are trying to convince these Gentiles to become Jews through circumcision and through the keeping of the law. And he says, how foolish when you aren't keeping the law. Verse 28, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Trust me, the Jews did not want to hear this, did they? Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. This is not covenant theology. He's not teaching that we become Jews and the Jews aren't Jews anymore, this is the passage that they like to use to teach that God's finished with the Jews and the church has supplanted the Jews. That's not what he's saying. He is, however, reminding the Jews, you cannot get to heaven by keeping the law. Gentiles, you cannot get to heaven by keeping the law. You can only get to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw there in chapter 6, verse 15 of Galatians. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Circumcision and uncircumcision don't matter. What matters is, are we a new creature? And as we know, we don't have the power to make ourselves a new creature, do we? That takes supernatural influence from a supernatural God. He's the one that makes us a new creature in Christ. And the world, in their hearts, before they get their conscience seared or defiled, they already know they're a breaker of the law. It's called guilt. And children experience it when they're young, don't they? They do something wrong and then they feel bad about it. Why? Where'd that come from? Why do they feel bad? Why not just do wrong stuff? And it's not just the threat of getting, you know, the rod of understanding from their parents. There's that inner guilt. So that is part of what God put in us, isn't it? Like we saw last week. That's the law written in our hearts. That we are a breaker of the law. That there is right, that there is wrong, and that there is a creator who has established right and wrong. And we know, before we become unable to hear it anymore through the searing and the defilement of our conscience, we know in our hearts we are a breaker of the law and that we need help. And then we have a choice to make, don't we? Am I going to seek my Creator and find out what He tells me is necessary so that I'm ready for judgment someday? Or am I going to ignore what my conscience is saying, that I'm a breaker of the law, and try to run from God? And of course, all you're doing is running to hell. So every person, every Jew, every Gentile, every human being outside of Jesus Christ has been and is a breaker of the law. And the law was given, as we saw, to give us the knowledge of sin, to teach us that we're evil, to teach us we've sinned against God, so that we will seek His help, which He gave and displayed in the most amazing way by the sacrifice of His Son. Amen? Every person is a breaker of the law. Thank you, Lord, for your word and this beautiful passage, and again, this